Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. How many here today could use, or how about not could use, but how many of you like getting good news? Raise your hand. Good news, right? We all want good news. Maybe some of you right now are like, I could really use some good news. It's been a tough week. It's been this, my job, my this. And you're like, I could use some good news. So today I want to give you in this message some good news. And here it is, okay? And you're going to be like, oh, God is good. God is good. God is always good. That's the good news for right now. Maybe you are doubting that. Maybe you're struggling with that belief right now that God is good. But I'm telling you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, God is always only good. We sing the song in church often, the goodness of God. All my life, you have been faithful. And that bridge says, your goodness is running after me. Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God is good. And I think we all believe that. We all believe that. I'm not saying we don't sometimes struggle with that in the middle of trials and struggles, but I think if we got down the brass tacks of it, and if I went around the room and asked, you'd all say, yeah, God is good. And I think we all would at least say we believe that. That truth, that fact, that God is good, it's an indisputable truth found and proclaimed from the living Word of God. Exodus 34 says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Psalm 145, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Psalm 25:8, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Mark 10, Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. We sang about it today. I've preached it in the past. God is always only good. And the message for today that we're talking about in our This Is Our God series is, he is the God who is enough. The God who is enough. He's always only good. He satisfies. Now, there's another indisputable truth found in the Word of God. We talked about this indisputable truth and this fact that God is good. God is always only good. We can believe that. We can say that. The Bible says it. I've experienced it. God is good. But there's another indisputable truth also found in the Word of God. And this truth we can't escape. We cannot escape this truth. We cannot buy our way out of this fact. Ignoring this truth only worsens it as time goes on. And here it is, church. Here's the other truth. We will face trouble. We will endure trials. Difficulty will unexpectedly knock at each and every one of our doors. James 1 says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall, not if you fall, but when ye fall into diverse temptations, which also means various trials. 1 Peter 4, Peter says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. He said, don't be surprised when trials and troubles come into your life. It's not surprising, because we live in this broken world. John 16, Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Jesus said, you're going to have troubles in this life. You're going to have difficulties and challenges and trials in your life on this earth. Trouble will find a way into our lives. It may be expected. It may surprise you sometimes, though. Trials may come through the death of a loved one or a parent or the loss of a child. It may come through health problems. It may even be something as small as car troubles. These minor trials of life that can be very frustrating. Your marriage may be struggling. Your kids may be walking through a valley, which as a parent becomes your valley too. This trouble may last a short while, And for some, it may last the rest of your life. Trouble finds a way into our life. It may be cancer. It may be financial stress. It may be addiction. It may be autism that affects your life. It may be the fear of the future or the regret of the past. No matter what it is, fill in the blank. Oftentimes, these troubles and trials have a way of controlling us. We respond to these trials and troubles in a way that kind of, it affects our mind and our heart and our choices as we're going through this trouble. And maybe we lash out at people. Maybe we wallow in self-pity. Maybe we get depressed. Fill in the blank. Maybe we overspend because we're stressed. Sometimes it's going to make us feel, maybe we overeat. Fill in the blank. So many different things. But these trials and troubles, whatever they may be, can be very controlling, and they trouble our heart. Even if it doesn't look that way on the outside, our hearts are troubled. Let me say this, church. A troubled heart leads to a troubled mind, which leads to a troubled life. We're facing a trial in our life, a difficulty, a challenge, and our hearts are sorrowful. Our hearts are broken. We are upset. We are discouraged. We are worried. We are scared, whatever it may be. And in that fear and worry and stress and sorrow, it begins to affect the way we think, the way we see life, the way we view life, the way we view people. This troubled heart leads to a troubled mind where suddenly you look at the world, you look at your life, you look at the people in your life in a very different view. Maybe cynically, maybe pessimistically, and you're just kind of like, oh, like, and it starts to affect how you think. So a heart that's troubled leads to a mind that is troubled, and when that mind is troubled, we begin to live and act in a way based on that thinking, and then our life also becomes troubled. It's a pattern. Trouble will come. You say, Pastor, you said this was a message about good news. Why are you being such a jerk this morning, Pastor? Just hold on. Trouble will come. And for some of you, trouble is already here. You are in the middle of it. Church, every week I want to be this way, but especially with a message like this, can we just be real this morning? Can we be real? Can we be raw? Can we be open? I don't want, we got to quit acting like our lives are all put together. Oftentimes we do that. Social media is so easy to do that, where we just put on those highlights of life and we act like we have it all together. And we don't want people to know that we're struggling. We got to be real. Some of you have dreams that have been crushed. Some of you have desires that are still unfulfilled. Some of you live with impossible wants. Some of you live with unmet needs, unexpected pain, irreplaceable loss. It's tough, but trials are a part of life. We mustn't ignore them. We shouldn't deny them. And sometimes, church, we have to be okay with not understanding the trials. Not knowing why it's happening. Trials are hard. Trials are hard. That's why we call them difficulties, because they're difficult. Trouble is often painful, and sometimes trouble and trials are paralyzing. We allow our personal, often hidden trials to keep us from moving forward. We just do. We allow those trials, again, often hidden. We don't want anyone to know that we're struggling. And they hold us back from moving forward. Some of us feel stuck. We feel stuck. We feel like we're spinning our wheels. Maybe you're this morning and that's you, and you don't want to nod because you don't want people to know that it's you, but in your heart, you're nodding like, that's me. My wheels have been spinning. I feel like I've been stuck in the same place. I've had the same challenges, the same fears, the same discouragement, the same mundane life that just doesn't seem to satisfy. I've tried moving and that doesn't fix it. I've tried different relationships and that doesn't fix it. I've tried getting this and doing this and nothing's working. I'm still not satisfied. We feel like there's no way out. We feel like our situation is hopeless. It's beyond help. We've tried everything and nothing seems to fix it. We feel lost in life. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you couldn't remember being there. Maybe you're fearful of getting to that point again. We watch our friends and family go through life seemingly untouched by trials and difficulties. Like, they got it so easy, and we fight jealousy. But then we know what's wrong because we love these people. We're like, I don't want to be jealous of them. And we love them, but why me? Why do they have such an easy life? And why is my life so difficult? Trials are tricky sometimes. And trials are one of the most powerful parts of our lives. All of us probably know somebody, not probably, all of us know somebody who's been through a trial. And we've seen trials break people, haven't we? We have seen people go through difficulties and struggles, and we've watched them completely and utterly derail and fall apart. And it's heartbreaking. But maybe you've seen trials better people. I know in my life, maybe it's because I grew up around people of faith, but I have watched trials better people, to where people go through this dark time, but they almost, they're not sad, they're still discouraged and sad, but they have allowed their trial to help them grow, and they've used it to be a blessing to other people, and it's, we've seen both sides of it, haven't we? So what do we do with these trials that we inevitably will face or are facing right now? Ignoring them doesn't make them go away. In fact, ignoring them only makes the, it lengthens the time to where you're going to respond to the trial sooner or later. And the longer you ignore it and push it aside, push it under the surface, it's just going to be a greater response, and not in a good way. The longer you ignore a trial in your life and pretend it's not there, the more you are hurting yourself in the long run. Okay? The more you ignore it and pretend it's not there, whether it's addiction or whether it's undealt with stress, fill in the blank. You're denying reality when you ignore the trial. You're denying reality, and that is physically, mentally, and spiritually unhealthy. So, Pastor, thanks for the good news today. I really appreciate it. I promise you, the message is not over yet. Hold on, because with all that really bad news, it seems, you know, that's a lot of tough stuff to hear. I want to give you something this morning. Hopefully, by this point in the message, you are like, okay, now I feel miserable. Not that I want you to feel that way, but I want you to recognize the trials in your life. Maybe they're not, you say, well, and this is what we do too sometimes. We're like, well, mine's not as bad as so-and-so, so I don't really, we have to stop with the comparison game. We all face things. Just because, you know, I'm not homeless doesn't mean that I have no trials at all in my life. I grew up in a culture sometimes it was like, well, you know, I remember we I'm not even gonna say this story because that's gonna, I don't want to get somebody in trouble. But I wasn't gonna look at someone else and be like, well, they have it so much worse, so I have to just, there are times when we face trials, and it's okay. It's okay to acknowledge that you're going through something. So what can we do? Hebrews chapter 4 says this. It says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus died on the cross, rose again, entered heaven, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Look what it goes on to say, verse 15. This high priest, Jesus Christ, the one who died for you, the one who loves you, the one who rose again for you, the one that intercedes for you, this high priest, Jesus of ours, understands our weaknesses. For he faced all of the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. Great truth there. Thank God for that truth that we find in the Word of God, that Jesus knows what you're going through. How we can't say to people, oh, I know how you feel, because we haven't lived how they've lived. Jesus can say that. He's the only one that can say that. I know how you feel. Jesus, the Scriptures say, and does the Scriptures lie? No, they do not. The Scriptures say he understands our weaknesses. He faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Verse 16. So, because of that truth, because of the fact that Jesus knows our weaknesses, he understands our weaknesses, he's been where we're at, he was tested the same way that we were, because of that truth, let us come boldly, boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy. Look at, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. That's the good news, that we will have trials, but Jesus understands. He gets it. He gets it, that big commercial right now. He gets us. He really does. He gets us. He understands. And we can go to the throne of God and receive mercy and grace when we need it most. Jesus faced pain. Jesus suffered loneliness. Jesus understood rejection. Jesus understood abuse. Jesus understood being misunderstood and mocked and ridiculed. Jesus knew what it meant to be abandoned. All of his disciples forsook him, the Scriptures say. They left him out to dry when the guards arrested him. Jesus knew what it meant to be abandoned. Jesus wept over loss. He came to earth. Jesus came to earth. God in heaven became man in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came to earth, all God and all man, and faced trials. The greatest trial. He was put on a cross. He felt all that pain for us. He came to earth. He faced trials. And the beautiful truth of all that is this. Jesus lived through all that suffering. He died on a cross in our place. He rose again by the power of God, and because of the gospel, and remember, the gospel is the work of Christ. Jesus died, he rose again for us. That's the gospel. He died, was buried, and rose again. Because of the gospel, because of what he did for us, we are given, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, we are given divine power through Jesus, the Son of God, for all things pertaining to life and godliness. The scriptures say that, including facing difficulty, including trials. He gives us the power to walk through it. That doesn't take them away. It doesn't erase the difficulties. No, because of Jesus and the work that he did for you and me, when we accept Christ, we are given power to make it, to face these things. We don't have to ignore or deny reality. We don't have to live in discouragement. We don't have to walk through this fallen world constantly in fear of the unknown, what's going to happen. We don't have to live that way. We don't have to let our trials and our troubles control us or define us. Oftentimes, we find our identity in our trial. We find our meaning and purpose in our trial, and we let that define us. We're defined by our past, or we're defined, and that's all we think about. No, no. Jesus defines us. Jesus is our identity. God completes us. Jesus defeats discouragement. He defeats depression. He defeats anxiety. He defeats fear. This is our God, the God who is enough. It says in 1 Corinthians, Jesus says in 1 Corinthians 1, as Paul is quoting him, and Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough for you. It's enough for whatever trial we face. He is the God who is enough." We must, church, by faith, this is where it gets tough. We must, by faith, believe that God has put this situation in my life for my good, ultimately, and for his glory. We can face difficulties by faith, because he is enough. And I want to share this morning some ways that we can face difficulties by faith, recognizing he is enough, and come out stronger through these trials, because some of you are in the midst of it right now. Or maybe you're not right now, you're like, things are pretty good, but sooner or later, this is not if you face, when you face trials. I want, and this may be a two-part message next week too, we'll see where we get. But first things first, number one, what do we do with these trials that we will face, maybe that we are facing? First things first is this: embrace your trials. Embrace your trials. When you embrace someone, when you give somebody a hug, you are pulling them in close, and it's usually out of love or appreciation. So when it comes to the trials in our lives, you think of yours, I'll think of mine, we must make the grace-led choice of accepting this trial as a part of our life and as a tool in the sovereign hand of Almighty God. God knows what he's doing. He is all-knowing. The scripture, the word is omniscient. God is an all-knowing God. He is gracious. He is perfect. So we have to make the conscious choice to be intentional about saying, I don't like what's happening in my life. I don't like this trial, but God allowed it to happen, and he is sovereign. He is all-knowing. He is in control. He allowed this to happen, and he's going to use it in my life for my good and for his glory, because he is only good, because he is gracious, because he is perfect, and he does not make mistakes. Not denying these trials, not ignoring these trials, but embracing them. Embracing them. This part of my life, my trial, that God has allowed to happen, it is meant, it is specifically designed, it is here to rip me out of my satisfaction, my illogical satisfaction of a life or a year or a month or a day or any moment not being dependent on God. This trial in my life that God allowed to happen is meant to pull me out of being satisfied with living life on my own. Because that's what we do. That's our natural instinct, is to just go at it alone. To go at it, we're not weak people. We got some strength. I can handle it. So we walk through life kind of in our own power, in our own strength, in our own wisdom. We may come to church. We may even read our Bibles. We may even have some time of prayer. But ultimately, oftentimes, we get into this comfort zone of just kind of living life on our own. And God says, I'm not good with that. And you'll be much better off if you're dependent on me, because you're going to face things. So a trial comes into our lives, and what it does is it rips us out of this illogical satisfaction of a life lived without Christ, of a life lived without being fully dependent on the Creator, the King of Kings, God the Father. It's not an attack. The trial is not an attack. It's not born out of hatred. God is not a little kid with a magnifying glass on an anthill trying to make our lives miserable. And by the way, I'm not saying that God doesn't sometimes chasten or discipline his children. Now listen, I have to say, now I'm grateful for the times that God has kind of slapped me upside the head and said, hey, dude, what are you doing? You know you're not supposed to be doing that. You got to treat your wife better. You got to treat your kid better. Whatever it may be. God does chasten us. There are times when God does allow things to get our attention, because he's like, you're disobeying me. But not every trial is a chastening trial. And by the way, when God does chasten his children, discipline his children, it's not out of flippant rage or this unrighteous anger, you know, or just getting mad. No, God is a patient and loving father. Every trial is not chastening. A chastening trial, by the way, a trial that is kind of where God's getting our attention, a chastening trial is still the grace and love of God pouring into our life, because God cares enough about us to get our attention. But not every trial is not chastening. Every trial that we face is not because we did something wrong or we're doing something against what God wants. God in his perfect love is doing what it takes to draw us to his side. All of us face this, and church, we got to admit this, we are too easily satisfied. It's not that we want too much. It's not that we ask too much from God selfishly or pridefully. I'm not saying anything like that. The problem is that most of us, church, are okay with just enough. We're okay with just enough. A little bit of change in our life. A minor spiritual growth. A little maturity. As long as we know, the important verses in the Bible and all the major stories, we're satisfied with that. We only just a little bit. We say that we're thankful for God's grace. We say that we're thankful for the redemption through Jesus Christ in our lives. But the truth is, church, we get satisfied too early, way too early, way before God is through working on us, working in us. If our kids aren't completely disrespectful and terrible, if our relationship to our spouse is halfway decent and livable, if our jobs aren't terrible, if we're at least not like completely broke, if we got a nice house, we have a nice church, pretty good health, we're just satisfied. We're good. We're fine. Like we have enough, and we are too easily satisfied. And in all of our irrational satisfaction with our unknowingly empty lives, God is not satisfied. God is not good with that. He knows that we will continue to need his rescuing grace until sin is no more, until we're in heaven with him one day. We're going to continue to need his gracious interference in our lives until we have been completely formed into the image of his son, and that's when we're in heaven. We will continue to need the forgiving, enabling, transforming power of his grace until every thought and desire of our hearts are pleasing in his sight. There's a lot of work left to be done on this guy. A lot of work left. We will continue to need his deliverance, his protection, as long as we are still vulnerable to the luring voices of temptation that surround us here below. And that's every day of our lives. We need his grace. We're just too easily satisfied. God loves us so much that he continues to be dissatisfied even in those moments when we are all too satisfied. God does not leave us alone. He will not abandon the work of his hands, the scriptures say. He will not turn from his grace. He will not leave us out to dry. He is zealous for us. And he is jealous. The scripture says he's a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And we put other gods in our life. He is zealous for us. His grace is relentless. It will chase us down until his work is complete in us. Some of you have lived that life where you try to run from God and he seems like he keeps running after us, doesn't he? And you're like, man, God just won't leave me alone. Thank God for that. Thank God for his hand and his love in your life that continually reaches back out. Just like the shepherd who went after the one lost lamb in the scripture that Jesus told that story. That's what God does for us. And that is why, church, you find yourselves in the middle of situations that you don't like. Dealing with things that you didn't plan. Enduring difficulty you never thought would enter your door. Facing the unplanned, the unexpected, and the unwanted. The reason you face all of this is because the Lord is using all of these hard, uncomfortable, sometimes painful moments in our lives to wrench us out of that illogical satisfaction and drive you towards genuine heart and life change that is only found in him. And that wouldn't come any other way. We can look back, probably, I hope some of us can look back, I know I can look back at my life and the trials that I have faced and seen what God has done through them and seen what God has done in them. The change that he's made that wouldn't have come any other way but through that trial. He pries open our hands and takes away our crutches that we use and our distractions. He crushes our dreams. He's like, what, God? He crushes our dreams and gives us purer ones. He sometimes destroys our plans and we're like, what is going on? And then gives us better ones because he knows best. He exposes our weaknesses so that we cry out to what he knows we need, but what we have been living without. We need him. He is the God who is enough. Trials are hard, but trials are a gift of grace. If you can learn that truth, if you can believe by faith that truth, that trials are a gift of grace, I promise you, it doesn't mean life's going to get any easier, but the way you view life and maybe your spirit through life will be a lot better because it's going to be led by the Spirit of God. Trials are a gift of grace. And here's the cold, hard truth today, church. God allowed your trial to happen. That's a tough one, even for me. For all of us, God allowed your trial, your trouble, your difficulty, he allowed it to happen. That life-changing sickness or disability, the unexpected loss, losing your job, the extra bill, fill in the blank with your trial, God allowed it to happen. Now, that doesn't mean that he did it. Okay, we have an enemy as well that attacks us, that wants to destroy our lives. Look in the book of Job in the Old Testament. Job was living a great life, serving God, loving God, faithful to God, and the devil went to God and said, hey, he only serves you because you protect him and you give him everything he wants. If you took all that away, he'd curse you to your face, and God says, well, fine, that's not true, but go ahead. And the devil attacked Job and took everything away from him. And Job still, it's the song we sing in church, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Job said. He still trusted God. So I'm not saying that God attacks us. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is God in his sovereignty, he's in control. Although the enemy may be the one attacking it, God still allowed it to happen. He still didn't stop it. But that trial in your life is not a picture of a lack of God's mercy. It is a picture of an act of God's mercy. And I hope, and I know many of you that know us don't do this, but don't look at me and think that I'm exempt from trials just because I'm the pastor of the church. You know? Many of you know us and you know our story, and we've even from this pulpit have shared story after story after story of troubles going through maybe our housing situation from a few years back where we didn't know where we were going to live. That was a big trial. We didn't know what was going to happen. And on we could go. But one journey in our life, one challenge in our life that really has continued to live with us for probably the last 7-8 years is our journey with our son Seth on the autism spectrum with severe autism, nonverbal. And I'll never forget when we found out about that years ago, back in 2016, I believe. His journey And our journey with Seth through autism is a journey of hope. It is. But some of the roads on that journey are paved with sorrow and are paved with fear and are paved with the unknown. And I can stand up here and preach about trials and trusting God and tell you about how God taught us so much through that, and He has, and how he brought us through so many trials, and he used that challenge in our life to help other people and other parents going through the same thing, and how Seth has been an inspiration, and all that's true. But come see me a few years ago when we could not figure out how to get Seth to sleep through the night. And I'm up with him at 3 a.m. and I'm struggling and I'm doubting the goodness of God. And I'm like, what is going on here? I'm exhausted and I'm losing my mind here. Can't figure out why he's crying. Why is he upset? He can't tell me. Or sit with us at his IEP meeting. That first one we have, there's 12 people on a big desk and they're trying to figure out the best way to help him communicate with words. Those are scary times. He's gotten so much better at this, but years ago, we couldn't even really go to a restaurant because we couldn't get him to sit and stay in his seat, and it was just a challenge. He used to wander so much more and elope, and that's what the word, and he'd wander out, and it was a scary time. It was a scary and unknown time in our life, this journey that we took with our son, Seth. And it's sometimes challenging to see that specific trial with Seth and that challenge as a grace, as a gift of grace from God. But by faith, church, I have to believe that God is sovereign, that He knows best, and that He will continue to use this challenge for His glory and for our good. God has done so much through that journey with Seth. God has used Seth's story to be an inspiration to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. God used Seth to be an inspiration to me in my life as his dad. The steps and the victory, the little victories that he's had, all that this journey has done, it's been hard, it's been tough, and there are so many times every day I wish I could take it away. But I have to focus on what God is doing. When life seems to be lacking, He is enough. I have to choose, and it's a daily choice, I have to choose to embrace this trial. We, as husband and wife, have to choose to embrace this trial and to face it head on by God's grace. I can't ignore it. I can't deny it. It's impossible. It's hard. And that I wish things were different. I wish they were easier for Him. The trial is great, but His mercy is more. And He's enough. And He holds Seth in His hands. And I have to believe that. And I do believe that. And in your life, church, that trial that you're facing even right now, some of you, seems to be screaming at you that you're not enough, that you're a failure, you deserve this, you could have avoided this. Why do these things happen to you? And that trial is just so loud in your heart and mind. But in grace, believe this, that trial is whispering to your soul, not you're a failure and you deserve this, but that trial, viewed through the lens of the grace of God, whispers to you, look up. Look up, because that scripture that we read earlier where Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. But this is what he says at the end, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Your trial is great, but His mercy is more. Your troubles leave you empty, yes, but His love fills. You feel like you can't go on, and His strength lifts you up and carries you. You feel overwhelmed, but His grace is enough. I don't know. Some of you, I do know what you're going through. And I'm with you, and I know it stinks. I know it's brutal. I know it's painful, but He's enough. And some of you, I don't know. I don't know if you're facing a trial. Maybe you are. The gospel of Jesus Christ shows us that trials don't have to defeat us. What is the gospel? It's Jesus on the cross. Did the cross defeat Jesus? No, it did not. Did death defeat Jesus? No, it did not. Did the grave defeat Jesus? No, it did not. The gospel shows us that trials don't have to defeat us, and they don't have to define us. By God's grace, those same trials can deliver us. They can deliver us. The greatest trial that Jesus ever faced, the cross, was my deliverance, was your deliverance. Church, your trials, by God's grace, will deliver you from self-dependence. Your greatest threat. That's your greatest threat. Depending on yourself and yourself alone. Embrace those trials. Embrace those trials. And in doing so, embrace the one who sovereignly planted that in your life and find true peace and freedom. Rest, rest in the God who is enough. He said, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are weak and are heavily burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And some of you today need some rest. You're exhausted, spiritually, physically, mentally exhausted. He's enough for you. Rest in him, rest in him, rest in him. Trust him. That trial, don't push it away, don't bear it undeserved. Embrace it and know that he has a plan and a purpose for it all. He's enough. He is the only thing that will ever satisfy that longing in your soul. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.